Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. Today is a very special episode. It's a very near and dear to my heart episode, and I'm so excited. It's going to be a little bit less maybe scientific today and more about my friend and past client, Courtney, and her experience. She is a past client. We did work together for, I think it was about a year, and she's been on her own doing her own thing for about 6 months at this point, but her story and her transformation is very exciting. It's just very cool. And it is a bit of, I don't want to say it's a miracle because we did a lot of scientific stuff, but at the same time, there's a little bit of miracle-esque to it. So we're going to talk about that and just share her experience and her story. And I'm really excited to have her on the podcast. So welcome, Courtney.
Hello. Thank you. I'm so excited. I'm a little nervous. I don't like hearing myself talk.
That's okay. You don't have to listen back if you don't want.
True.
Alrighty. Well, do you want to share what we're specifically talking about today?
Yeah. So I was your client. I came to you because I didn't have a period for 3 years. And then all of a sudden, I got my period and now I am pregnant.
How far along are you?
So I am 15 weeks as of yesterday.
Okay. So exciting. How did you feel in your first trimester?
Oh, girl.
Was it rough?
It was pretty bad. I don't now. Before I say, I know a lot of people, a lot of women had way worse experiences than me. I was pretty fortunate. I never physically threw up, but I did feel like seasick every night, and I didn't want to eat anything. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much the worst of it. And I know some women just like live at the toilet, and I thank God that that was not me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't want to eat anything for like 5 weeks, but of course, when you don't eat, you get nauseous. And then when I ate, I got nauseous. So it was just like this roller coaster of just forcing food down my throat and just being along for the journey.
Yeah. You did that only, or you said that lasted about like 5 weeks for you?
Yeah. I would wake up and feel fine. You know, I never had like the morning sickness you hear about. Actually, mornings I felt my best, and that was when I felt the most hungry. So like I would gorge on like breakfast foods while I could, and then when it came to like lunch and dinner, I was like, holy crap, I don't want this.
I'm sure that was rough, but the one thing I have learned about morning sickness and pregnancy, especially through my certification course, was morning sickness is kind of like a outdated term because it's not just the morning. Like you, it was more in the evening, afternoon. Some women it's all day long. Some women it's morning. Like it's not uniformly morning. And so it's not really morning sickness. It's just nausea in general.
It's
general just upset stomach.
It's like something weird. Okay, so pregnancy is wild. Like I'm only 15 weeks and I have learned that it is a wild ride. Like me and my husband love Mexican food. Like we're in Texas. We love Tex-Mex.
Yep.
We love Mexican food. Mm-hmm. I wanted none of it. None of it. Like the thought of going to eat Mexican food and like chicken fajitas made me want to faint. So I towards the end of my first trimester, I was like, I want Mexican food. Like, let's go. Let's try this. I took one bite of my taco and I immediately put it down. I was like, I can't eat this. So it's insane how the body changes. And like, even now I'm like second trimester, I still don't want Mexican food. I really don't.
Yeah.
But I'm like, who am I?
Right. Have you had any other aversions?
Yeah. So I loved chicken and like putting chicken in like a nice veggie bowl with like some rice and like maybe like a taco salad. A girl, you put chicken in front of me, I will literally cry. I do not want chicken at all. So it's like I don't understand, again, because like I loved chicken so much and it was like my go-to. It was so easy to cook. I hate it. I hate it so much. So that's like,
All
even
right.
like it literally blows me away because I've changed what I like and what I don't like. And during the first trimester, okay, so I'm not hating to anyone who likes McDonald's. Like, you do you, boo-boo. I was not a fan of it. I never ate it before pregnancy, but it was the only thing I wanted. And it was the only thing that did not make me want to pass out and nauseous all the time. I never went and got it just because, like, I was like, no, I cannot do this. But it's crazy. Like, I wanted just things that I knew weren't good for my body. And, like, I wanted French fries and pizza and nachos. And I never really craved that stuff before. So it's just wild how, like, your body is like, give me garbage food.
I mean, and that's like a lot of women, I think that's what a lot of women end up surviving during pregnancy. And it is, I do wonder why, like, that is what women crave when they're pregnant. I really
Yeah.
do. Like, cravings, the aversions to more specifically, like, protein is there is like some science that talks about that in the early pregnancy. But in terms of like craving McDonald's or craving other fast foods,
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but I think that's very common.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I was actually talking to my husband about this. When you and I were working together, we would travel a lot on the weekends just to go back home and visit family. And you and I would talk about how, like, when we travel and we get back, we want like all the vegetables, all the greenery. Like, you crave that when you don't get it for a while. So why am I craving food that I know has no nutritional value while I need it the most? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's weird because you're right. Like, when you're typically cravings, like pregnancy aside, come from, well, even sometimes during pregnancy, you start to crave things that have specific nutrients that you're lacking. Like, when women crave chocolate, that can be from the magnesium in chocolate, right? But I don't know what's in McDonald's that would create. Like, I don't know what nutritional deficiency
Yeah,
that
like
would correlate with that.
is that real meat? I don't know. I
I have
mean,
no clue.
if there's women out there listening to this and you love McDonald's, hey, you do you. That's great. I can't, I cannot. I don't know.
Well, let's jump into more of like your origin story before your miraculous pregnancy.
Miracle.
You're like the Virgin Mary.
I literally said that. I was like, oh, I'm probably not as cool as Virgin Mary, but hey,
You're
it's
the Virgin Courtney.
yeah. Except,
She's not a virgin, ladies, but
yeah.
she did have intercourse to get pregnant.
I
But
did.
it's not
Mom, if
that.
you're listening to this, sorry.
It's not that deep of a miracle. But let's go back to your origin story. I just didn't want people listening to be like, wait, did that really happen? She got pregnant like from a hot tub or something? So
No, we did the deed and things happen, and I can share, like, okay, not like the story of the
well,
intercourse, but like ovulation and all that
We'll
stuff.
get to that of like how you only had one period,
Yeah.
and just like timeline of like your cycle. But let's go back to like rewind before we even started working together. Can you talk about like how long you were on birth control, when you got off birth control, and a little bit of your timeline with like not with birth control, getting off, and then not having the period?
So I'm 30 years old as of December last year. And I got on hormonal birth control when I was a junior in high school. So I think that made me like 17, 18. The reason I got on it was just because I had terrible acne, but I mean, like, what teenager doesn't?
Yeah.
And painful periods. So me and my mom, we went to the OBGYN and, you know, just like everyone else, hey, take this birth control. Okay. So I was on it. I never got off, never took a break from it. Straight, like never missed a pill. I was actually, you know, on time, all the stuff, whatever. For a long time. I got married in 2019. So in 2020, me and my husband were like, okay, like, let's get off and try to have a family. Like, you know, it might take you a while to go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
So just get off of it now. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. So I think from like 20, it might have been like 2010, 2011 is when I got on it, and I got off of it in 2020. So a while of like straight hormonal birth control.
Yeah.
And that was the fall of 2020, and I had like one bleed after that, and then I never saw her again.
Yeah.
She was gone. So
she said, nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Good
luck.
Back for once. And now I'm out of here.
Aunt Flo said goodbye. So, yeah.
Okay. So you were on birth control for like 10, like over 10 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got off, had one period, and then she disappeared. At that time, were you tracking ovulation or trying to?
No. So I didn't really know much about the female body. You know, I was just living in like an everyday, like just live your life. I didn't really, I didn't really care, you know, like I had no reason.
Right.
I didn't know anything about ovulation. You tell me what progesterone was, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's a hormone, but like, what does it do? I don't know.
Right.
So, when it was like 3 months of no period, I was like, okay, give it a year. Give it a year. If nothing happens, take action.
Mm-hmm.
But something I did want to mention was that, like, I think it was like 3, 4 months, maybe 5 months after I got off, my acne was so severe, like craters, like cystic acne. It hurt to touch my face, like out of the blue, just awful. And I ended up working with a holistic acne specialist, and she completely just introduced me to the world of like holistic and basically was telling me how awful hormonal birth control can be to the female body, and that my acne was from a hormonal imbalance.
Yeah.
And she just did like the basic stuff of like, you know, change your detergent and synthetic fragrances and clean face washes, and like got me on like some herbs, like I don't even remember, but it was just like very basic stuff. And she has also helped women get their period back and clear acne. She cleared my acne, but there was still no period back.
Yep.
So that kind of was the start of like my holistic like journey, and like kind of understanding like there's a whole nother world out there of like cleanliness. That kind of started it.
What other symptoms did you have, whether it was before we started working together or once we started working together, aside from like having acne and no period, did you have any other like GI issues or anything like that that you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah. For the longest time, I just remember having stomach issues and being uncomfortable in swimsuits, even at like a young age of like 18, 20, not wanting to wear two pieces because like I looked pregnant all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was fat, like, oh, I'm fat. Mm-hmm. But like I wake up, I look skinny. By the time it's time to go to the beach, I look pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just something that like I lived with for a really long time and like I kind of normalized.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize until really until I met you that hormonal birth control can affect your GI health.
Mm-hmm.
And just really wreak havoc on it. And that explained a lot of my bloating.
Yeah. And I mean, you were bloated.
Yeah.
You had some of the most intense bloating of, obviously, like I've had a lot of bloating with my own story. A lot of clients struggle with bloating, but it was like relentless. You were having, mm-hmm. We did so many things and the bloating just like wouldn't ease up for you. Do you mind if I share some of the findings we found with your lab testing?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So something that a lot of people don't realize you can have in America, or if you're not traveling out of the country very often, but can actually impact both your GI health and your fertility, is parasites. And that was one of the first things that Courtney and I found. And I remember when I revealed that to her, she was like, what?
Yeah, excuse me.
I have a parasite. What are you talking about?
No, not me. That's disgusting.
It is one of those things where we're like, oh my God, whenever you find out you have parasites, or I suggest to people that they may have parasites, the initial reaction is like, I'm gross. I'm disgusting. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I have a parasite. But that's not it at all. Like, if you've ever traveled outside of the country, you're susceptible to parasites. If you have animals, you're susceptible to parasites. Like they're rubbing their butts on your couch where you lay your head. They're licking you. Like we know that it's really common for our pets to have worms and bugs, but then we think that they can't transfer to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you eat fresh produce or you eat any sort of animal-based meat, even fish, sushi, you're susceptible to parasites. So it's not that you're gross or uncleanly whatsoever. It's just like parasites are, it's just like how we actually as humans, we have more, about 90% of our cells in our body are bacterial versus human, because we're made up of so many like bacterias within our body. So it's normal to have fungi and parasites and bacterias within us, but it's when they're causing issues or they are overgrown and there's too many, they're overpopulated, that it starts having issues. So that was one of the first things that Courtney and I worked on when we started working together, was let's dig into your gut health, because that's probably why, or part of the reason why your period's been AWOL. And that was one of the first things we found. I think we found some other like bacterial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever find, was there candida or mold? I think your mold test came back negative.
Yeah, that was pretty, honestly, that was like one of the most heartbreaking things, like, because like we got rid of the parasites and I still felt off, and like the next step was mold, and I was like, oh, it's mold, it's gonna be mold. And then when it came back negative, I was like, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did mold, and then there were a little bit of signs of, I think it was candida. And we did a protocol for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just over time, you know, it started like dwindling down.
Yeah. We did a lot of food-based protocols too.
Oh gosh.
If you're a trooper, you're a freaking trooper. Yeah, tell me your experience with that. Even if you have nothing good to say about it, let's talk about it.
Okay, that was probably the most difficult. I guess they're called protocols. I don't know. That was probably the most difficult protocol, is the food.
Mm-hmm.
Being on a strict diet, because we were also trying to test what foods triggered the bloat. And like I said, like my husband and I, like our date nights consisted of like Mexican food and like going to like an outdoor bar and like just sitting and like hanging out and drinking. Well, we cut out alcohol. We cut out like basically everything except like IBS approved foods or something like that. It's very like basic, yep. basic. And on top of cutting that out, you had to track it. Mm-hmm. And the introduction of a food is like 3 days and tracking that. And it was like a full-time job, but like I was so dedicated that like it didn't matter. I would have literally done anything. Mm-hmm. So that we did for like, I want to say it was like pretty much the whole time we worked together, just like slowly introducing foods, mm-hmm. And fruit and like grains and meat, mm-hmm. all this stuff. And, you know, you have the holidays and you have like family gatherings and you have to bring your own food to these things. And it was challenging, but like the end result, it's so worth it. If you just put the time and effort into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not every protocol ends up being like that extreme, but your symptoms were just so intense that we were trying to figure out like, okay, how can we give you some sort of relief while we keep going through this with like the antimicrobials and addressing minerals and hormones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I just want to give you props too. Like, you were a freaking trooper. You were like, okay, I'm geared up and I'm ready to go.
Oh yeah,
I will fight this battle. And you did.
Literally, like anything you threw at me, I was like, yes, ma'am, let's go.
Yep.
Can we talk about the gallbladder
thing? I was just going to say, do you want to talk about your gallbladder?
Because I'm a changed person from that.
That was one of those things where you just look at yourself differently after you go through that.
That was very humbling. So I don't know. You messaged me on like a random day. Like I was venting to you like, oh, this is so hard. I don't know. I was like venting to you and you were like, well, do you want to try something kind of off the wall? And I was like, what you got?
Yeah.
And you were like this. There's this gallbladder cleanse. It's a 24 hours?
Technically, fasting? I usually call it a 48-hour flush, but it's technically like 24 hours because on day one, you start, you eat just carbs, like no fiber, no fat, no protein. And then at 2 p.m., you stop eating. And then this is for people listening. This flush is meant to flush if you have gallstones. And it's, I do not try this at home on your own. You need to be working with me or another educated practitioner on doing this. And I don't recommend this to everybody. But then then at 2 p.m. you stop. And then you have to drink a mineral, specific mineral. I don't want to say because I don't want people to listen to just try it on their own, but a specific mineral beverage that you have to drink twice. Do you want to talk about what that tasted like?
Mind you,
or
like,
do you have PTSD?
No, it's fine. I just want to say that, like, this mineral, like, when Leslie told me about it, I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, you know, no big deal. It was disgusting. Like, mm-hmm. I still to this day have never tasted anything so disgusting in my entire life. And keep in mind, I was hungry. Yeah. And so, oh, you can't drink water either during this. Yeah. So I was like, finally something on my tongue. And once that hit my tongue, I literally was like, forget this.
Yeah.
But I kept going and it was just so yeah,
it's very gnarly. It tastes like toxic waste. And I remember because I will never put a client through something I haven't done myself. So I believe we did this together
the same time. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And I remember because you have to drink this mixture 4 times, twice before bed and then twice the next morning. And I remember waking up and gagging, thinking about it, like physically gagging to myself. because I was like, I don't want to drink it again.
Yeah.
So bad.
And like the last mixture that you do, you like immediately have to like lay down. And that like helps the gallbladder do its thing and like just push everything through.
Yes.
And that literally upset my stomach.
You had a wild experience. You had a very, you honestly, to be honest with you, I've talked about this with another practitioner anonymously about your experience, because you have one of the most wild experiences with this out of all the clients I've ever put through this flush.
Oh, it felt wild.
It was wild.
Wait, I did it twice. Remember, I did it twice.
The second time wasn't as bad, I don't think.
No. I had like sweat. I was sweating during this flush.
Like, your body full on was like borderline going through shock, I think.
Yeah. I needed to do that. Like it was really good that I did that.
Do you want to share what happened after the flush? Like what the results were or no?
Yeah, like I ended up excreting, I think it was over 50 gallstones.
Yeah.
Like, it was shocking. Yeah. And then the second time, we just felt like we needed to do it again because there was so many the first time, like do it again and see. And sure enough, like I think there was like half the amount, maybe a little less. So there was definitely some gallstones up in there.
And you passed them for days, didn't you?
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like typically in use myself and then other clients that I've had do this since you, it's usually like the next day they pass them and then typically they don't continue. But I remember you have passing them for like 3 days.
Yeah, like I did not leave. Like I did not want to leave the house.
Yeah. That was wild. But your gallbladder and your ability to have bile flow is so important for hormones and digestion and getting rid of toxins, because our bile is what binds to toxins to help pull them through the digestive tract. So that was part of the thought process behind doing this, is there bile sludge or reduced bile flow? And so even though we're kind of killing off some of these things within your system, are we able to excrete it properly, or is it just getting recycled through your system? So that was kind of the thought process of, let's try this to see if this helps with that. And I do believe that it did. You did feel better for a while after. I think you had some better motility with bowel movements and a little bit of reduction in bloating. I know that didn't fully go away, but I do believe for a little bit you had some benefits from that.
Yeah, I felt great after. And another thing that you and I talked about too is like, sorry if you're eating right now listening to this, but I would just have like such loose stool all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I never had a solid bowel movement ever.
Yeah.
And it would, I would be in the bathroom a long time.
Yeah.
And that was concerning too. And so that was another goal on top of the bloating, was just to like firm things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they did after that,
that
flush.
Yeah. So we did a lot with your gut. And then when we had tested hormones, I don't have like any of your files up in front of me, but most things, hormones across the board were pretty low, weren't they?
Yeah. So I actually have it still because, it was
intriguing. You should always keep that just as your medical records.
Oh yeah. and another symptom too was like, I was always cold, like, no matter what. I was the grandma with the sweater at the restaurant, like cold all the time. And so a lot of my results were low, and I just had like low thyroid, pretty close to hypothyroidism levels. And my progesterone was low, testosterone, DHEA, everything was low. I mean, you described it. Yeah. Like the way that I understood it was like, I was like on the verge of, menopause. Like, yeah, the levels were very, like, premenopausal. And, mm-hmm, like, I was, like, 28.
Yeah.
So that was alarming.
Yeah. And that's the case with a lot of women, too, is, like, it doesn't mean that you were going into menopause, but just after, this is a big thing, which is called hypothalamic amenorrhea, where you just don't have a period, even if you had one when you had one in the past. And it's from, like, when you have such low sex hormones, you're not going through, like, if you have been listening to this podcast the last year and a half, you know that your hormones cycle up and down throughout the month. Basically, Courtney wasn't having any of that cycling. Everything was just, like, nothing was going up and nothing was coming down. It was all just staying very low. So while we were tackling so much of her gut health for, like, a year, we were hoping that in doing that and helping her gut, her immune system, her thyroid would then increase, which then when your thyroid increases, your sex hormones increase. And it was a long journey for you.
Yeah.
Where I think we got to the point where we had done so much that I told Courtney, I was like, you know what? I think you were ready for this too. I think you were very ready for a break. And I was like, we've done so much. I think you just need to, like, not think about anything and you just need to live your life for a couple of months. Let's not do a single protocol. I want you to just, like, be mindful of what you're eating, but just eat what you want, exercise what you want, just go have fun with your life for a little bit. And if you're bloated, just try to ignore it and just choose a little bit of ignorance for the next couple of months because you've gone through the ringer. And you just need a little break.
I want to take a quick little second to tell you a very important announcement. And that is that my Most Fertile Self membership is officially launching on Tuesday, April 9th. Okay? It is ready. It is live. And we are getting started. So this membership is for you if you are currently trying to get pregnant or you know that you want to get pregnant in the next couple of years. This is all about preconception health, which is very much forgotten about and neglected in our society and conventional Western medical systems. Like, they don't tell you to work on your health until you've been trying to get pregnant for a year and it's not working, right? I want you to have your best chances of success when you do start trying. And we have research to show that it takes women 8 to 12 months on average to get pregnant after they stop birth control. So let's start working on your health now so that when you do start trying, you have the best chances. This is going to be topics. We're going to talk about the best prenatals because some prenatals are shit. Sorry, but they are. We're going to talk about how you should be eating to support your fertility. We're going to talk about different hormonal imbalances that will lead to infertility or could lead to infertility and what to do about it. I'm not just going to tell you, hey, if you have irregular cycles, that's a problem. I would say, hey, if you have irregular cycles, you need to listen up and you need to do A, B, C, and D. Okay. We're going to talk about labs to get if you want to start trying. We're going to talk about weird things that correlate with fertility, like celiac disease, hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, gum disease, because there's things like that, that if you have those conditions can make fertility a little bit more difficult for you, but it's not talked about, right? So we're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about what to do, how you should eat, how you should be living your life, different things like that. So that when you do start trying, it is the easiest process for you. Of course, I can't guarantee that things are going to work out perfectly for you. However, I want you to have the best chances of success going into it. And then you're also going to have access to two different types of workouts here. So you're going to have a 6-month program that is geared towards your pelvic floor and the muscles you will use when you do become pregnant and postpartum. Why would you start working on those muscles once you become pregnant? And why would you not start working on those now when you know you want to get pregnant next year, right? It takes a while to build muscle, so why not start working on it now? Plus, like, everyone loves a juicy booty. Everyone loves a good old peach. So why not start working on that now? Because your booty is very important to the posterior chain for when you are pregnant and postpartum, okay? So you're going to have a 6-month program, or if you don't want to do that program, you will have the option to, like, pick and choose your workouts depending on where you're at in your cycle right now, Okay. So you're going to have a workout program. You're going to have these, they're going to be short form videos. So don't worry. You're not going to have to show up weekly for some like hour long Zoom call. There's going to be a library that is very well labeled. I'm an organized woman that you can find. Okay. I want to know what prenatal to take. Boom. It's right there. Okay. I want to know what labs to get. Boom. It's right there. And every week I'm going to drip in more content that is exclusive to this membership. This is not the content that I will be posting on my social media. This is exclusive content for this membership that you need to pay the $10 fee to have access to. Okay. So it's $10 a month and there's no long-term commitment. If you decide that this isn't right for you, you can cancel your membership and stop paying $10 a month. But if you want to take your preconception health seriously so that you have the best chances possible, then I would pay the $10 a month because I think this membership is going to be pretty damn good if I do say so myself, okay? Plus, this is where my energy thrives. I love talking about this and I'm going through my own preconception health journey right now. So I'm going to be like in the trenches with you and it's going to be great. We're going to learn all the things. We're going to talk about all the things. Plus, we're going to have a little group chat with all the women in here so that you can ask questions and I will answer them directly with education through these videos in the membership. Okay. So you're going to have everything you need. And if there's a topic that I'm not talking about and you're like, hey, I really want to learn about this topic, you can drop that in the group chat and I'll make a video for you. I'll be your researcher. So you don't have to do the research and I'm just going to tell you what to do about it. Okay. So it goes live on Tuesday. However, you can sign up and join the wait list now. The link is in the show notes and you can sign up, pay your first $10, and then you will be set to be added into the membership on Tuesday and lock in your spot. There is going to be a 30 person max for this membership. It's not like unlimited. So once we hit 30 people, then you will have to wait until a spot opens up, but that might be limited because it's going to be the best membership ever. So people aren't going to want to leave, just saying. Okay. So join the wait list now if you want to start having babies.
Yeah. And that was in October, 2023. And then, December 2023. Oh, we had like planned on meeting back up in February.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing how things go, maybe retesting. So like we had a game plan. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, the holidays are coming up. F this. I'm going to eat all the casseroles. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to live my life. You know, I'm turning 30. So 2 months later, I had my period.
2 months later, I got the best message I've ever gotten on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
Can I tell you real quick where I was when I got this message?
Yeah.
I was very drunk, Courtney. I was in an Uber actually coming back home from downtown Dallas drinking on a Christmas bar crawl.
I love that.
My friends, and I'm in the Uber and everyone's yelling and we're all talking about stuff and I go, guys, I just got the best DM ever. And I was like, I read, obviously they don't know who you are. And I like, didn't say your name, but I was like,
I'm
selling this to an Uber full of drunk girls. Oh, and obviously girlhood, everyone's like,
oh, I'm going to cry.
It was like the best celebration ever.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, it was wild because, like, me and my husband and my childhood best friend and her husband, we had planned to go to Fredericksburg. And in Texas, that's, like, the wine place to go. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, wineries galore. So we were going there for my 30th birthday. And we had did, like, this all-day wine tour. And, like, we did, like, a hop-on shuttle where you just, like, hop on, hop off at each winery. And like, I love red wine. So it was 6 o'clock in the evening and I was wasted. Just like, I didn't know left from right. And the bus was about to come pick us up at the last stop. Like the 6 o'clock, if you're not on that bus, you're getting left.
Yeah.
So I looked at my husband. I was like, I gotta pee. And he was like, Courtney, we gotta go. And I was like, no, just hold the bus. So I go inside and I drop my drawers and I see red. Sorry, TMI. I see red. And I'm like, did I spill wine in my underwear?
The fact that that was your initial thought is so funny and just so telling of how long it'd been since you had a period.
I know. And like, it was so bizarre. So I'm like, I'm hurrying up and I'm just like, oh my God, this is happening. So like, I'm running to this bus. I'm to my husband who is like at the door and he's like, what?
You're just yelling in a winery.
Yes. And like, everyone's like, what the hell? Like, who's excited to get their period? Like me. But something that like, so like leading up to this, my boobs hurt so dang bad. Like a week before or 2 weeks before. And it was just like, I just thought I like went real hard at the gym on chest day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never in a million years thought, well, my period's coming. Like, no, I'm just sore. Well, no, that was my hormones. So sometimes you just have to let go and stop worrying about when is it going to happen? What am I doing wrong? What protocol do I do next? And like, you hit the nail on the head. Just let's take a break, live your life, enjoy life. And like, I was having the most fun I've had in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, like, I started.
I just got full body chills.
I know. It was amazing. Yeah. And I remember like hearing your podcast and like just, you know, working with you and learning a lot about ovulation. I was like, try not to stress about, am I going to have another one? Mm-hmm. Was this it?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I bought the ovulation strips. I think you had them on your Amazon store, mm-hmm. or something. I don't know. I bought them and I was like, I'm not going to fixate on this. Like, I'm not going to, because like, I have the personality of like, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. And like, mm-hmm. just like really anxious. So I was like, I'm not going to fixate on these ovulation strips. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, I would test every day. I think it was like a week after my period or something, mm-hmm. just to see if like I was on track to have another one.
Yeah.
And one day, like that thing shot up. Like it was glowing. That strip was like neon.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm ovulating. Like, I'm going to have another period.
Yeah.
But TMI here again, sorry. My sex drive was at that point the best it ever been, because like my sex hormones were really low. Mm-hmm. When we were working together, that like I was never really in the mood a lot. Yeah. But like, oh my gosh, that whole time frame, like those 3 or 4 days, it was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like nature was doing its thing. And
your body was like, let's go.
Yes. Yes. My husband was like, oh gosh. Again?
I'm not used to this.
You're an animal. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. So yeah, it was but something, if I could go back, backtrack. Not to get off topic, when I got off the pill, like I said earlier, I gave myself a year, and if I didn't have a period, I was gonna like really look into this. Mm-hmm. Well, it had been a year, and I went to the doctor, like Western medicine,
mm-hmm.
and this really traumatized me, because we did blood work, everything looked fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine on their scale.
Mm-hmm.
And she did an ultrasound and found like little fibroids or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately diagnosed me with PCOS. I think she called it like a mild case. And like explained to me what PCOS was and like this triangle about like there's three different symptoms of PCOS. The blood work, the fibroids, I think they were
This
fibroids.
it's a
Cysts.
cyst.
Yeah, that. Cysts and a lot of hair. Like hair. And like in like weird places, like on your chin and like facial hair. Well, like I didn't have that. My blood work was also okay. So like why she diagnosed me with PCOS, I don't know. But like it was really traumatizing, and like she basically was like, she gave me like a pamphlet of PCOS, and I go home and I Google like your chances of having kids with PCOS are very slim, and da, 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 da. And like I'm traumatized. I'm like, what? Like, me and my husband were like, okay, we're probably gonna have to do like IVF. Like, there's no way at all. So like I just wanted to add that in there just because like don't overthink anything. If you go to the doctor and they tell you a diagnosis, well, that could be wrong and that could be, but it could be right. But you know, don't close the door there. Keep researching, keep digging. You know your body. PCOS didn't run in my family. I didn't show really all that many signs except no period. And so like I kept digging and I found Wesley and her practice, and my hormones were not normal according to the holistic charts. So the fact that like I am now 15 weeks pregnant, and like for 3 years or 2 years, I guess, I thought I was gonna have to do like IVF and wasn't gonna be able to have a child naturally. That it's just a miracle to me. Every step that I took along the way was just like in the right direction. And I know not everyone's story is going to be like that, and not everyone's going to be as lucky as I am. But the point I'm trying to make is don't give up hope, because you will have your chance. And just don't give up, keep fighting. So.
I love that message. That
Not
was very beautiful.
to get all in my feels.
Well, it's very beautiful, and it's very true, and it's very telling because I mean, we've talked about that. Like nothing in your blood work indicated any sort of PCOS. So it was for you more than likely a false diagnosis or like it wasn't accurate for you, which can happen to people. And so, and you're right, like sometimes when people get a diagnosis, whether it is right or it's not right, it becomes an identity, and that can be really hard to live through and overcome because then you're like, oh, I have PCOS, and PCOS becomes your entire identity. And then you almost identify with the fact that like I'm not going to be able to have kids very easily or have kids at all. And then it's kind of the opposite of like we took this 2 month break from October to December, and just for like, okay, screw everything we know and all the labs we have, everything we've done, and just like live your life freely without thinking about this. And then boom, it happened.
And like I do believe if it wasn't for working with you and like clearing out my body, resetting my body, you know, I was still taking supplements for my hormones even when we paused. But you basically reset my body, and from there it was up to me and like my mental health at that point. And like that was something you always tried to drill in my head. I was like, just relax. I mean, you were a lot nicer than that, but like,
I
just
would
relax.
never say just relax.
No, you wouldn't. But you were a lot nicer. Basically, let it go and relax your mind. And I did things that like brought me joy. And I remember one time you asked me, Courtney, when was the last time that like you laughed really hard? And I had to genuinely think about it, like hard. And I didn't know. And it was like because I was so hyper fixated on my symptoms and am I gonna be able to have kids? It, like, can I provide this for my husband? And just constantly like so hard on myself that like I struggled finding the joy in the little things. And over time, like I just had the fuck it mindset. Sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to
You're
cuss
good.
on, but I just had like the fuck it mindset and it worked. And now like I am trying to continue that mindset through this pregnancy because a baby feels everything you feel. And I'm just trying to learn from that. But yeah, it's wild how much your mental health can also affect your hormones.
It can be.
Hardcore.
Yeah, I remember having that conversation of asking you, like, when's the last time just like were like really happy, and it was you took a while to respond, and I asked that of a lot of clients and even myself too, because I think that when there's something that is quote unquote wrong with your body, and it's not that there's something wrong, but it's just you're experiencing symptoms that, and like your body's communicating that things aren't necessarily in homeostasis. It can get really easy to fixate on that of like, I shouldn't be feeling this. I shouldn't be experiencing this. I shouldn't be blah, 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 or I should be blah, blah, blah. And it gets really easy to get in that fixated mindset. And then that almost, it's like working on your health is kind of a double-edged sword sometimes, because you're doing all these things that are right, but then it like dictates your mental health so much. And that can then make things, it can almost like discount everything, all the physical things you are doing.
And like I have the personality, like I mentioned earlier, of just like anxiety and worry. Like I used to joke that, oh, I'm just a worry wart. Well, like, well, it's not a joke. Like I am. And like that's something I constantly have to work on because like I've seen the impact of what it can do to you. And sometimes you just have to let it go. So
I love that. So after you noticed that you were ovulating, can you tell us about like how you, I want to know your like when you took a test, what that was like, of like, did you have symptoms? Were you like, is this a period or should I take a test? What was that like?
Okay, so I ovulated and I knew like I was gonna have a period again. Like that's just how it works. So I had the whole boob soreness again. And I was like, yeah, it's coming. But at the same time, I was like, dang, I kind of wanted to be pregnant. Like that would have been cool. What didn't go away, like it actually got like more severe, the boob soreness. And keep in mind, I had one of my best friend's bachelorette parties in Fredericksburg, like a week from when I started noticing the boob soreness. So I had like a whole weekend plan of drinking and going to wineries. So like I gave it some time. A couple of days went by, my boobs still hurt. Then I started noticing like acne, like which is abnormal. I had pretty clear skin, but like these this acne episode was like, what is happening? Okay, I guess it's period. Jeez, here we go. Well, I don't know. I was talking to my husband. I was like, dear, something is different. And he was like, well, you just, maybe you don't remember what having a period was like, and I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. And he said, look, if you still feel this way 3 days before your trip, take a pregnancy test, you know, just to ease your mind. And I was like, okay. So around that time, I was supposed to start my period. Like, it was on my app. You're supposed to start, I think it was a Tuesday. And no, Wednesday. And I was leaving Thursday.
Okay.
And I went to the gym Wednesday. And I didn't start my period. And I was like, okay, like, I know I'm supposed to start today and it's only like 7 a.m., but like, I'm out. I'm going to go to Walmart and get a pregnancy test. So I got it. I got home, waited for my husband to get home that night. I took the test and it was like, it immediately, I got the one that like digitally says pregnant.
Yeah.
Immediately, like, it seemed like immediately, but it, you know, I think it was like a minute. It said pregnant. And like, I cannot even describe that feeling of like shock, disbelief, excitement. It was like this combo of like everything.
Yeah.
And I just immediately was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I told my husband and he was just like, nuh-uh, no. And I was like, dude, yes, look. And so I took another one.
Yeah, naturally.
And it said pregnant. And then I called my doctor and you have to go in when you're 8 weeks pregnant. And I'm like, what? That's like, apparently they like did the math. I was like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
5 weeks, whatever. So I had to wait like another 4 weeks and get like someone who has their degree in this to tell me, yes, you are pregnant.
Yeah.
So I had to wait. And between when I called and my appointment, I took another pregnancy test. And because I wasn't having these symptoms of like nausea yet.
Yeah.
And like, I felt fine. I wasn't acting like super emotional. Like, I just felt normal. My boobs hurt like a mother trucker. Still do. But other than that, like, I was just like still in this disbelief. Like, no way this would happen to me. Like, this doesn't happen. One period, I ovulate, boom, she's pregnant. No way. So I waited the longest 4 weeks of my life. And I'm laying on the table and they're doing the ultrasound. And immediately, like immediately, you hear this fast heartbeat. And you see the baby and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is real. Like, I am normal. Like, this is all happened. It happened natural. So it's amazing.
Okay.
Don't make me cry. I'm emotional.
Oh my gosh, it's the best story ever.
It was very just magical, and I know God had a hand in this. Just everything that he put on my path, you know, I was on TikTok, which I told myself, do not download TikTok, but I downloaded TikTok and that's how I found you. And like every little piece of the puzzle, I believe like God had a hand on, and now this, like, it's just, it's incredible.
I love it. You do not, don't share, don't tell, but are you, do you know the gender and or are you finding out the gender? Are you
gonna okay? Yeah, so that was another thing. Like, if anyone's ever been like pregnant, which I'm sure there are listeners out there, you know the dreaded wait time of like the chromosome test, like to find out like if your baby has Downs or you know trisomy and all that stuff. Well, at the same time, you find out your gender.
Okay.
Thank God, baby's okay. Like, there's no, they came back normal.
Normal abnormalities.
Yeah. So at that time, I got the PDF for the gender, and my husband and I we really wanted to find out with our parents and like grandmas. And we wanted to do like a gender reveal. So we don't know yet. I sent the PDF to my best friend and she's the only one that knows. And it's actually next weekend. So we're going to find out next weekend.
Are you going to post that publicly or will you keep that just between your family and you until the end?
Oh no, I'm going to scream it to the world. It will definitely be public.
I will be watching your stories.
Yes. I for the longest time thought it was a girl. I was like, it's a girl because like my acne, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was a girl, but I've talked to like friends who've had boys and like they had acne and you know, they didn't get nauseous when they were pregnant. And so now I'm like, well, is it a boy? Like I'm all over the place.
Yeah. I vote girl. I think it's a girl. I don't know why. I just, my gut is telling me that you are a girl mom.
See, you're the only one that's told me that.
They think people think you're a boy mom.
Everyone I've talked to, it's a boy. You're a boy mom.
Okay. I can see both. I can see both. I go off of one, just like what my gut tells me. And my gut is telling me that it is a girl.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they say like the wise tale. Is it wise or wives?
Wives.
Why? Who were the wives?
I don't know.
Well, the wives. The wives that told this story, something about like, if it's a girl, it's because you need to learn patience. And if it's a boy, it's because you, something about like the love they give you.
Oh, wow.
And while, yes, you are patient, you also are very excited to get to the next thing. I think that going off of that and what my gut, I think it's a girl.
I could see that. I could really see that. And like, I'm the type of mom that I feel like, well, I'm not a mom, but I feel like I would be the type of mom to be like all the ruffles and all the bows and all the stuff. Where there's some women out there that are like anti-bow and like they have boys. But I would also be the boy mom to go hunting and fishing and like all these things. So I just don't know. I thought for the longest time it's a girl. I'm still like, I will be wearing pink to the gender reveal because I think it's a girl. Like 60% of me.
Do you have plans of like how you're going to, is it, are you doing anything like popping a balloon or like the inside of a cake? Do you have any, do you know what you're going to do?
Yeah. My best friend ordered like these little confetti shooters with like smoke.
Yeah.
So yeah,
she, so exciting.
Yeah, and I told, even her husband was like, don't tell me. And so she has not been able to tell a soul, like her cat maybe, but like that's it.
That would be like so hard. And I will say one of my favorite things about what I do and about my job is that I am often one of the first people to know about not necessarily the gender but pregnancies, because I'm like, I'm in it with you guys, you know, and like working on like accomplishing this great miracle. So it's like one of my favorite things is that I'm usually like one of the first people that get to celebrate you when you find that out. And it's just, it's like so exciting. So it's such a blessing.
I think you were, well, obviously I told my husband first, and my doctor, I think you were after that. Like, I think you were like third or fourth. Like, I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Like, we told my parents, like, when I was like 9 weeks. And we just announced it on Saturday, like, to the public.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really hard to, like, keep it a secret. And, like, I truly don't know how she hasn't told anyone.
I will keep secrets that need to be kept, but it's hard.
It's
hard. Especially, like, I remember one of my best friends when she got pregnant, I was one of the first to know about it. And I, like, didn't even tell Drew because I just, like, didn't want him to share it with anybody. And I was just, like, like busting at the seams, like pacing back and forth.
Yeah.
I need someone else to know this information.
Yeah. That's really hard. And like, she told me that I would be her gender keeper when the time comes. So it's just like, I can do it. Mm-hmm. No problem. But like, boy, will it be hard. Like,
yeah.
I texted her, I think it was yesterday, and was like, I literally can't wait anymore. And she said, how do you think I feel? So it's like, I, you're right. Let me stop complaining.
Oh, goodness. I love it. Okay. Well, let's wrap this up for those that are listening. You already gave a lot of like really great advice and just such a hopeful message. Is there anything else that you want to share or tell? It's okay if not, but is there anything else you want to share?
I already said it, but I just want to say it again. If there's anyone out there with the same struggle of like not having a period and, you know, just wondering if you're going to be a mom, just know that like there's a story of your own. Like, do not give up hope. Your story is meant to be your story for a reason. And just try not to get so lost in trying to figure out why, and just live your life for each day and just let go.
Yeah.
So
I love it. Well, thank you guys for listening to Courtney's wonderful story. And Courtney, thank you so much for being here.
No, it's so exciting. Thank you.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week.